Welcome back to Podcast Royal. And Rachel, how are you and how was your Easter?
Easter was good. It was super low key and just incredibly chill. I am good. We were just talking a moment ago offline. I'm thankful, as I know you are, for a little bit of a lighter lift this week. The news has been a bit less chaotic for the first time in a couple months, so we'll take the breather. But how are you, and how was your Easter?
I am doing well. Easter was great. I saw family and we went to church and had lunch. And somehow along the way, I'm not really sure how this happened, but I have been named the banana pudding maker of the family.
Not surprised.
I'm
Totally
not
not surprised.
a really big banana pudding eater myself. I'm a chocolate girl, but I have some family, my dad in particular, who likes banana pudding. And when I make it, I go made from scratch all the way. The pudding, I do a meringue on top and bake it in the oven. So it seems to be a hit. So I actually made two for Easter. I did a traditional one and I did a gluten-free version. So we all got to enjoy
It
it.
is ridiculously sad how my holidays compare to yours. Like, they're so not that fancy, but God bless, like, you and I hope that you're taking pictures and posting. I'm still kind of on like a quasi social media detox, so I haven't really been like scrolling, just for my own sake and sanity. But I hope you're posting photos of all of the
Well,
delicious stuff.
this weekend I did not get a picture of the banana pudding because we kind of devoured it pretty quickly. I think we were all hungry, but baking and cooking in general is a hobby of mine. So next time I'll have to get some pictures.
I just, I need to step. I have a fully functional, great kitchen. I like to bake. I much prefer baking to cooking. I really like following a recipe to a T in baking. Now this is a total tangent, but in baking, you can't hardly really, go off the recipe, go off script, or otherwise it could really mess up. But in cooking, I see cooking more of an art and baking more of a science, and I'm much more of baking than cooking, but I digress. You inspire me always. Whether I'll actually do it, I don't know, but the
Well, either
inspiration
way.
is there. The seed is planted. Whether it will grow, who knows? But so let's go into the royal rundown. This episode will be relatively short. Again, we're a bit thankful for that. Listeners, I'm sure that you need a breather as well. But the royal rundown, so the big news of the week, of course, is Easter. So we both had good Easters. I'm glad to hear it, listeners. I hope you all did as well. And we obviously likely don't have to tell you, listeners, that last Sunday, a couple days ago, was Easter. And the Wales family of five were not at St. George's Chapel as predicted, but the king was. It was great to see him out and
Yes.
about. What did you think when you saw him? I thought he looked well, and I loved seeing him greeting the crowd. So, what was your first
Yeah.
impression of him?
I totally agree. I thought he looked great and I was surprised because I guess I had just been thinking about the news around Trooping the Colour and us seeing him sort of far away, maybe in a carriage or something or on a stage somewhere. So to see him out and about and mingling and waving, it was a good surprise, I will say. It was nice to see him.
Yeah, he's kind of, we're going to talk about this in a second, but he and Camilla sat away from the rest of the royal family at the service. But then he goes out and he doesn't have a mask on and he's greeting well wishers. And that kind of like got me on a little bit on edge. I just hope that he's, continuing to take care of himself. And it probably was so hard to resist that temptation, right? Of like seeing people there, well wishers, and you want to
Yeah,
go over and talk to them.
but I think it was probably comforting for a lot of people. It did feel like we had finally a little bit of normalcy, which is so different from what we've had the past few months. So I'm sure a lot of people were comforted seeing him.
Well, I certainly loved seeing him. So the Easter service was said to have been planned for a far smaller scale than usual, following doctors' advice to limit the number of people the king comes in contact with as his cancer treatment continues, and also adhering to medical advice. As I just said, the king and queen were seated separately from others during the church service to reduce the risk of infection. They also skipped out on hosting a private family lunch after the church service. But as we said, the king did briefly greet members of the public that were gathered outside of the church. He shook some hands. He accepted their well wishes. And one well wisher told him to get well soon. And he responded, "I'm doing my best," which is like, yeah, I'm doing all I can over here. So, also in attendance, other than the king and queen, were Princess Anne and Sir Timothy Lawrence, Prince Andrew, and once again Fergie. Fergie seems to be a staple now, which I'm here for it. Like I'm all about it. At royal family, she was at Christmas at Sandringham. She was at Easter. Prince Edward and Sophie, Duchess of Edinburgh, who I thought Sophie looked so good in purple. We're going to talk about green in a minute, but I dropped some pictures in here of Sophie in her purple. Is she not gorgeous? Like, for real gorgeous. Like, yeah, just stunning. Absolutely. She was my fashion winner of the day. So Sophie was in purple, and the other women I just said, Princess Anne, Fergie, and also the Queen, were all in green. We'll talk about my theory for why they wore green in just a second. But Sophie is wearing a beret. That beret is actually a nod to her daughter, Lady Louise. Louise could not be there on Sunday, but the beret is hers. So I thought it was a nice touch to make sure that Louise was there, even though she couldn't physically be there for whatever. I think she's at school at St. Andrew's, so I think that's why she couldn't be there. But Sophie was keeping her daughter close, even though she wasn't there. And so then the Queen, Princess Anne, and Fergie color coordinated in green. And my theory about this might be even sweeter than you think, and kind of for the exact same reason. So the Princess of Wales, Catherine, Kate, whatever you want to call her, counts green as her favorite color. So that could be a silent, I have no confirmation of this, but that could be a silent nod of support to the Princess of Wales in a way to keep her close, even though she wasn't there.
Yeah, you know, actually, you probably haven't seen this yet, but I had some notes for us to talk through later, also related to color green. I was kind of speculating around, you know, what the reason might be, but I was just thinking about how the royals kind of went through this phase a couple years ago where it seemed like we just kept seeing them in blue all the time. And
especially
now,
Kate,
And so if your reason is correct, that is really sweet.
And it also, you know, could be a nod to the king as well and his environmentalism. And there were different shades of green. So the queen was in this emerald green. Princess Anne was in kind of a mint green. And I would say that Fergie's was more of a Kelly green. So it wasn't all the same shade of green. But I just don't think that was an accident at all. I don't know what happened with Sophie. Sophie looked great. I don't know where the purple came in.
Well, you know, you talk about sustainability. You mentioned her coat. It was very pretty. I think I read somewhere it's a repeat from like 2014.
I saw that too. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it may be an attempt to kind of recycle something. Maybe she didn't have something green that she wanted to recycle. I don't know.
Yeah. But Sophie, I don't know who your fashion winner of the day was, but I have to say Sophie was mine.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you on that. I really liked Sophie's look. Although one critique that I'll have about the Easter looks, and I do love their...
I know what you're going to say.
To me, Easter is a holiday for the light pastel color.
I knew it.
And I felt we were very heavy in the purples and the dark greens and the brown boots. And for me, I like, and you know, the Princess of Wales is good about doing this, you know, even if it's chilly Easter morning, you can still wear a hat and a coat, but keep it in those, you know, baby blues and the light pinks and the yellows. And, you know, I love seeing that on Easter morning. So the color choice was a little dark for me.
Well, Princess Anne got the memo. She was in more of a pastel-y mint green, but nobody else did.
Well, the king also recorded an audio message for Maundy Thursday. Actually tried to share that on a little clip of it on our Instagram account, but he expressed his great sadness that, you know, he couldn't be in attendance for that event. And they played his message at the Maundy service in Worcester Cathedral last Thursday. And I'm going to share a little quote from him. He said, "The Maundy service has a very special place in my heart. We need and benefit greatly from those who extend the hand of friendship to us, especially in a time of need. We should serve and care for each other." So he recorded that message at Buckingham Palace. I believe it was mid-March. And then in his absence, something we did actually talk about on the podcast, but Queen Camilla made history at this event. So this was pretty cool. I know we've talked about this, Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually became the first consort to lead the Maundy service, which dates back to 600 AD. So this is a pretty old tradition. Mm-hmm. And this year they had 75 men and 75 women who received Maundy money. They're like these little coins, and it's to thank people for their community contributions. And they chose 75 because the king is 75 years old. Mm-hmm. So that's where that number comes from. And then there was a tribute to the late Queen Elizabeth. So she really loved being a part of the Maundy Thursday tradition. And in her memory, Queen Camilla wore gold and sapphire flower brooches that belonged to the late queen. So just a little nod to Queen Elizabeth, which was really sweet.
I love when royals pay tribute through jewelry in particular. That makes me really mm-hmm. happy. And also in regards to the queen, meaning Queen Camilla, last Wednesday while visiting Shrewsbury Farmers Market, Camilla received well wishes for the Princess of Wales. She met two young girls who had made posters for Kate that read, "Send our love to Kate." Camilla promised to deliver them, according to Rebecca English, who is from the Daily Mail. And she said, Queen Camilla responded, "I know that Catherine is thrilled by all the kind wishes and support." So I'm glad to hear that that's getting back to Kate.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that also. And I don't know about you, but I love these visits Queen Camilla is doing to all these local shops and these markets around the UK. I am here for these. I love these kinds of engagements. And I personally, when I'm traveling, I really enjoy stopping at, you know, like a local wine shop or a bakery or a market and just kind of exploring some of those local treats. Mm-hmm. And since we're talking about shopping, I have to share something that I saw pop up on Instagram. Okay, I actually think I just said pop up, and that was not intentional. I was going to say pop up, but it leads right into where
dogs
I'm going.
Dogs always on the brain. Always on the brain.
I saw something pop up on Instagram last week. So, Rachel, do you remember we were talking about the Buckingham Palace gift shop and some of their products that they were selling? I think it was a couple episodes ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I think we were talking about American Riviera Orchard and how similar, actually, a lot of the offerings are. But yeah.
Yes. So they're actually advertising for their pet product line. And I know I don't currently have a dog, but I was so tempted to buy something. I still might do it. And I really think our royal dog lovers out there are going to want to check this out. So they have these really gorgeous dog bowls, and they're made from bone china with 22 karat gold detailing on them. They are handmade in Staffordshire, England, and they've got a couple different options, but they all have a crown motif. So there's a Buckingham Palace bowl, a Windsor Castle bowl, and a Palace of Holyrood House bowl. And they weren't, you know, I feel like when I say bone china and 22 karat gold, you're thinking this is probably astronomical. They were like 30 pounds a piece. So,
wow.
I would say that's pretty reasonable, but the shop also had a lot of really cute dog blankets and coats and bandanas. And if you're into tartan, they have a tartan line. So they had a little tartan bow tie and a little tartan dog bed, all really, really cute. And the great thing about it is you can purchase online. So if you don't get to go to one of their gift shops, you could just order it yourself.
I wonder what shipping is. Rhetorical question.
But yeah, you might pay 30 pounds for the bowl, but you might pay 300 for the
exactly.
Shipping.
Exactly. I'm like, well, I bought this for the equivalent of 30 pounds, but probably I paid 30 pounds in shipping. So you lucky UK listeners that just get to pick it up, or maybe we can just pick it up when we're over there next. But I'm telling you, these two brands, well, brand being a loose term, Buckingham Palace Gift Shop and American Riviera Orchard, they're mm-hmm. going to be like Venn diagramming all over themselves with product offerings. But
yeah, for sure.
Okay, so I was not expecting this story this week, and we have a light royal rundown anyway, and I definitely think that this is worthy of inclusion. So Dara Wang, do you know the name Dara Wang just off the top of your head? I doubt many of our listeners will.
Yeah, I do, but
You're a royal correspondent. So
right,
that's
I was
not
gonna
fair.
Say, I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't, and maybe out of context, I might not either.
Yeah, so Dara Wang is the mother of Christopher Wolfe, who is the son of Eduardo Mapelli Mazzi, whose name I will never not want to say. Eduardo, you know how I used to say it. But so it's kind of complicated to explain how this works, because they were not married, but they were engaged. So Dara Wang shares son Christopher Wolf, whose nickname is Wolfie, with her ex-fiance Eduardo Mapelli Mazzi, who of course is married to Princess Beatrice. And Dara Wang has just been really quiet. You know, I mean, Edo and Beatrice have been together for, I think, since 2018, and she's never spoken out. So they've been together, and of course they've been married since 2020. But Dara broke her silence about co-parenting with Princess Beatrice just in a really great interview with Harper's Bazaar. So I don't even know if listeners know this. I did not, to be honest with you. I've never really done a deep dive on her, but Dara she's American, first of all. She is an architect and a designer, and she was speaking with Harper's Bazaar and said that Wolfie has had two sets of parents trying to help him on both sides, and I just think the more the merrier. So when Beatrice and Edo started dating in 2018, he hadn't been separated very long from Dara. Dara is originally from Florida, which is where I now live, so kinship there. But Dara now lives in London. I think she lives in Chelsea. And in addition to Wolfie, Beatrice and Edo now have a daughter, Sienna Elizabeth, who you knew that, listener. She was born in September 2021. So back to Dara, she said, "I feel lucky to have such positive people around him," talking about Wolfie, "who really embrace him, because it didn't have to be so easy. It's all about your point of view. I don't understand people who are divorced and then hold their children as collateral. That doesn't make any sense. It's about creating a happy home and lifestyle. And as a child of divorce myself, I think that's beautiful. You know, that's the ideal situation." And she's right. It's not always that easy. And kudos to everyone involved for really putting Wolfie first. And I mean, Beatrice has always spoken warmly of Wolfie. Beatrice recently brought him to the Christmas Day church service at Sandringham. She brought him to Kate's Christmas Carol concert. I think that she considers him as much, you know, her child as she does Sienna. And so kudos. First of all, I love hearing from a royally adjacent person. And I love hearing from someone that I don't expect to hear from. So kudos to everybody.
That's really interesting. I think it makes a lot of sense that she lives in London, probably so she can be closer to her son. And mm-hmm. I think that probably makes him going back and forth between parents a lot easier. But I actually forgot that she was never married to Edo.
They weren't married.
I forgot that detail. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
They were engaged, but never married. But yeah, and she's a beautiful woman and, you know, incredibly successful, and just everybody seems to get along really well, which of course is the ideal, but it so rarely happens. So way to go, everybody.
That wraps up our royal rundown today.
How about that?
Three cheers to that.
We actually think have more royals around the world news than we do royal rundown today. So that's interesting.
Yeah, we'll kind of balance back and forth between the two, but let's go ahead and get into that. So we had a lot of our royal celebrating Easter this past week, and we did see the Spanish royal family. They were in Madrid at the Holy Week procession. They were out and about, totally just engaging with the public. They were in the crowd with everybody, and we had all four there. So we saw King Philippe, Queen Letizia, Princess Leonor, and Infanta Sofia. And then I actually saw, I don't know if you saw this, Rachel, a photo of both Leonor and Sophia. They were posing for selfies with members of the public in the crowd. So that was really cool to see, just kind of totally mingling with everybody.
Selfies are officially acceptable, not just among the Spanish royals, but British royals too. Love it.
Yeah. And then we got an official Easter photo from Norway. And I know everyone's going to be happy to hear
so
this.
So happy to see this. Yeah.
Yeah, you and I had seen the picture online, and I don't think I actually shared it on Instagram. And then I saw you mention it in our notes. But we've been following King Harald of Norway's health in light of his pacemaker procedure and the health scare when he was in Malaysia. So the good news is that he was in the family photo, and he was there with his wife, Queen Sonja, Crown Prince Haakon, Crown Princess Mette-Marit, and then we had Princess Ingrid Alexandra and Prince Sverre Magnus. They were also there in the photo. So the family is staying at the Norwegian royal family's farm, which is actually used by King Harald as a summer royal residence. And they're all there together celebrating.
And he looks great. He looks great.
Yeah, he's in some, I can't tell if that's brown or maroon pants.
Those are some maroon pants the king has on. He is styling and profiling. I think those are maroon.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Get it, Your Majesty. Yeah, he looks great.
Well, we also got a photo from Princess Madeline of Sweden. So she shared a photo on her personal Instagram account for Easter, and she was with her two daughters, Princess Leonor, who is 10, and Princess Adrian, who is 6. And both of her daughters were in matching Easter dresses. It was like a lavender and white gingham pattern with little flowers. I really liked the colors on their outfits. Speaking of the light kind of pastel colors for Easter. But okay, I'm going to mention this, Rachel. I'm just being honest here. I'm going to throw this out here. And I don't know if it's all of the talk around editing of photos with the royals has me overanalyzing stuff or what. But to me, I felt like the photo looked a little bit photoshopped. And I couldn't figure out if it was the lighting or the placement of everyone. It seemed like it was kind of pieced together, but it was a little bit awkward.
Okay. Yes. So I've not seen this until this moment, actually.
Yeah, I dropped it in our notes here for you.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. Princess, God, I love Princess Madeline. You know this. She looks very, she doesn't look, something's wrong. Like the lighting is different. Like it's like
there's a spotlight beacon of light directly on her head.
This is a weird photo anyway, editing aside, because the daughter in the back looks miserable. First of all, I don't like to talk about children, but like the mood of the people in the front and the daughter in the back is totally different. Like it looks like the daughter, and I'm sorry, I wish I'm not even going to attempt to guess which one is which, but the daughter in the back looks like she is in the photo.
So that's
Madeline and the other daughter look like they've been dropped in the photo via Photoshop or something, don't you
think? So Leonor, who's 10, is in the back, and then okay. We've got Adrian in her mom's lap, and there's like a pink sort of frame with a flower thing going on, which almost looks like, know if they were outside somewhere and they tried to, and the frame isn't real. I can't figure it out, but yeah. So her daughter standing behind her is just not smiling at all. Like she just looks like she doesn't want to be there.
She is not here for the Easter photo. She's not.
And I just
it.
Can't figure this one out, but it does look a little bit photoshopped, doesn't it?
Yeah. And like, I can't, and it might be because Adrian is blocking it, but you can't see any of Madeline's body other than her arm. Like she has no body. Maybe she's just very thin and you know, kudos, but like I just, yeah, it's an interesting photo, definitely worth taking a look at. And now here we are, like all amateur armchair photo editors.
Yes, I know, I hate that,
picking it apart. I kind of hate that for us, but anyway, well, okay, so this is some news. I kind of was expecting this because I feel like we talked about this earlier in the year about the Japanese royal family joining social media. Well, it finally happened. So this is some exciting news, kind of a late ad from the world's oldest monarchy, the Japanese royal family, or the imperial family, rather. They have joined Instagram, finally, in an effort to connect with the youth of Japan. So NBC News reported that the decision was made in a bid to shake off the Japanese imperial family's image as kind of reclusive and out of touch. So the Instagram launch features bonsai trees, birthday gatherings, and NBC News wrote it was a cautious first step into the world of social media that may disappoint those hoping for a candid glimpse into their veiled world. So it is very curated, I will say that. So yes, they got on Instagram yesterday, the first, April 1st. And by the end of the first day, the account had 320,000 followers. So I checked it this afternoon, Tuesday, the 2nd. And as we speak, the follower account had gone up to 579,000. So it's ballooning. And now it's 579,002 because I follow them, and now Podcast Royal does as well. So they already have, even though they've only been on for a day, 20 pictures are up there already, is published over just a span of a few hours. And the account highlights the royal family's first 3 months of 2024, from a New Year celebration to birthdays. Emperor Naruhito, Empress Masako, and their daughter Princess Aiko make appearances throughout the content. They're doing royal things. They're meeting officials. They're attending royal engagements. So the account has blocked comments on all of its posts. Literally all you can do, you cannot message this account. All you can do is like the, so it's still pretty tightly curated, but The Japanese royal family is considered to be the world's oldest monarchy. It is trying to reach out to younger generations by posting on Instagram. And if this goes well, it's kind of a soft launch, I guess, for a bigger social media campaign. If it goes well, then they are considering opening accounts on Facebook and X to just avoid X, really. Like, it's just kind of a cesspool. That's my advice, but no one's listening to me. So Mariko Fujiwara, she is the head of public relations, or I don't actually know if that is a man or a woman. So they are the head of public relations for the Imperial Household Agency, and said, since the imperial family is built on the consensus of the people, we hope this will deepen the understanding amongst young people who will lead the next generation. So for context, the Japanese royal family made its social media debut a full 15 years after the British royal family did the same. They joined X, which of course used to be called Twitter, back in 2009. So the Instagram, you can probably find this. I don't know. I tried to type in Japanese imperial family and I wasn't getting much luck. So the Instagram handle is, I'm just going to spell it out, KUNAICHO_JP. So again, that's KUNAICHO_JP.
I was looking that up as you were typing because I had it on my radar to follow them as well. And I was waiting and I hadn't done it yet. So I found them and I am now following them also. And I can see where Podcast Royal follows them.
That's right.
Well, that'll be fun. We'll have some more stuff to share on our Instagram. And hopefully we can follow along with their stories as well and start sharing more on Reels around the world from them.
Yes. And by the way, I just checked. What did I say earlier? 529,000, right? Now it's up in the last couple hours. Now it's up to 584,000. And, I'm sure it will be up more by the time listeners, you're listening on Wednesday. So,
well, let's go back to that topic of green clothing before we close out today. So you mentioned it, Rachel, and I actually didn't know you were even going to talk about it in the episode, but No, we had also talked earlier about the royals wearing a lot of green in the month of March, and that continued on to Easter, as you mentioned. And I was thinking, is it because March is, St. Patrick's Day? Does that have something to do with that? Maybe kind of a nod to their Irish members of the public. And then I thought, I don't know if that is reason. I'm seeing other royal families wearing green as well, including Belgium. So I wanted to talk about that. Queen Mathilde had two engagements this past week, and she wore green to both. First, she met with students at the Royal Palace in Brussels, and this event was spotlighting students who they're going to school, but they're also working and maintaining careers. So they were there to kind of share their experiences of juggling both a job and studying. And so at this event, she wore an emerald pantsuit and she paired it with like a kind of a black and green floral blouse and black pumps and green earrings. I actually think her earrings are Saison. I don't know if they're still available though, but then we saw her there at this event in the green pantsuit. And then we saw her at another event last week. She attended an engagement at the Hotel School Ghent, where she was actually there recognizing its 50th anniversary of catering and 30th anniversary of its baking school. So she got to go back in the kitchen and she saw where they had been making chocolate, and she learned about the different courses that they teach the students enrolled in their baking and catering classes. And then she also had a meal at their on-site restaurant. And I'm going to say, I'm kind of on the fence with pantsuits. I did not like the pantsuit look.
Agree.
But I love the dress that she wore for this hotel event. So the dress she had on was a lime green kind of knee length dress, and it was belted at the waist, and it was by one of her favorite designers, Natan. And she had it paired with a plaid coat and brown pumps and clutch. And I really, really loved this look. And I'm actually wondering if we're going to see the green trend continue into April now. And I don't know, Rachel, I don't know if your guess was right on the British royal family or what's going on, but green is trending for sure.
I really love, if that's a lime green dress, which to my eye, which who knows how colorblind that is, but to my eye, that is my favorite lime green dress ever. I don't normally like the color lime green, but that is it's just a great like apple green. Like, it's just,
I agree. Yeah.
I love that color.
Describing it as lime might be a little aggressive, but it's a bright
aggressive.
green apple.
I would
Is
call that
maybe
apple
more
green.
correct.
And I love the color combination of the brown, because I know like listeners are probably like lime green and brown, but like the it works. Like the color combination of the brown and this color of green really works. I love that
I don't
dress.
know. It
And
feels super classic, almost nostalgic. Like, it doesn't it feel a little bit like 1950s
Yes,
in a good
yes, it
way?
does. Yes, it feels very like something Grace Kelly might wear, you know, like something just very
Or
classic.
Jackie O, maybe?
Yes, all of the above. Yes, it's I love that. The pantsuit, yeah, not so much. The collar, the cut, but she's a beautiful woman.
It kind of makes me think about the color analysis that a lot of people are doing right now, where you match different shades to see what your season is, like which colors flatter your skin tone the most. And it's a great lesson in how one color looks totally different in different shades. And I don't feel like the emerald suits her as much as this green dress, that shade of green just looks fantastic.
Agreed. You know, my two favorite colors to wear, just based off of my coloring and my eyes and my brown hair, is green and red. So I'm all for the green. What are your favorite colors to wear? I don't know if you've ever had that conversation.
I like wearing like a really soft blush pink. And then I do like wearing green, not bright green, so more like honestly, I don't know that this is the most flattering for me, but I do wear occasionally more of like olive greens or something, but I don't think that would show up in my color analysis. I think I'm more of a blush pink kind of person. So I've got the blonde hair and the blue eyes and the very fair skin.
Yeah, well, I don't have blonde hair. I have blue green eyes and brown hair and the fair skin for sure. So,
Yeah, so I have to be careful with the really, really bright colors and some of the really like warm shades don't always work for me. So.
Orange does not work for me, yellow does not work for me, but red does, but white is hit or miss.
So red, I have found, I don't know if bright red is necessarily my color, but I do like a nice, like a burgundy or a maroon.
Yes, a burgundy or like a deep crimson or something like that for me. Well, that was maybe our shortest episode. Not maybe, may maybe one of our shortest episodes ever, and definitely our shortest of 2024.
Yes. Yep. Well, hope everyone had
Palette cleanser, palette cleanser.
for sure. Yeah. And I think, I don't know if we'll have a slow week next week or not, but it's a little bit of a change, but hope everyone had a great Easter weekend. And thank you again for joining us on here. And if you do have questions for us, please reach out. As we always say, we're available on Instagram at Podcast Royal. You can send us an email if you have thoughts or questions over on Gmail. We're at hellopodcastroyal@gmail.com. And if you do enjoy our show, do us a favor and go click the follow button so you can get notified every time a new episode comes out. It'll automatically show up in your library and you can listen there. So thank you again for tuning into episode 134 of Podcast Royal. Bye.
Bye.